Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Rob Dowler to the broadcast. Rob is the Corporate Chief Strategist and Assistant Deputy Minister responsible for Enterprise Information Technology Strategy, Policy and Planning, E-Government, Controllership, and Excellence in Education for the Province of Ontario, Canada. Prior to taking on his current position, Rob served as a Policy ADM in the Ministry of Government Services and in the Ministry of Consumer and Business Services. Prior to that, Rob was an urban planner with the Corporation of the City of Ottawa. Rob also spent some time in the private sector as a management consultant. He's won a wide array of awards and is a member of the Institute of Corporate Directors and has served as a director on several private boards. Rob holds a MS degree from the University of Toronto, a BA with honors from Queen's University, and Rob's also successfully completed the executive program at York University, the Queen's Public Executive Program, and a strategic management program at Harvard University. I recently caught up with Rob in his office in Toronto, where our conversation covered world-class IT principle one, people, as we discussed Rob's thoughts on how skill sets within IT departments have evolved through his career, principle two, infrastructure, as we discussed ways in which Rob and his colleagues have leveraged their immense buying power to reduce costs, principle four, IT and business partnerships, as we discussed Rob's approach to IT strategy and the ways in which he is engaged as counterparts outside of IT, as well as some other topics. Rob Dowler, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Thank you, Peter.
Rob, you are the Corporate Chief Strategist for the Government of Ontario, and I wonder if you could take a moment to please describe your role, responsibilities, as well as the IT function within the Ontario government, more generally speaking.
Well, sure. I like to tell people that I think I have the best job in IT for a couple of reasons. First of all, I get to work in a large jurisdiction. In Ontario, we're about 13 million people in an economy with approximately $588 billion GDP. So we're a fairly large jurisdiction, but we've also been internationally recognized as a digital state at the leading edge. In fact, there's a book by Sanford Borns written about us by that title. And our organization, I guess we consist of about 4,500 IT professionals, and I'm delighted to say that the government generally sees IT as a critical enabler for what it wants to achieve in the areas of service delivery, improving communications, and keeping costs under control. So that's kind of the first set of reasons. The second set of reasons that I like to tell people I have a great job is that as the corporate chief strategist, I get involved in just about every aspect of our IT program, from Web 2.0 to infrastructure refresh to major application development. I get to work with some of the top CIOs, top corporate chiefs, and some really great IT professionals from all across North America. So for those two reasons, I think, you know, being a corporate chief strategist is a great job, and working in Ontario makes it even greater.
And how long has that function, that role been in place?
Oh, I'd say at least a decade. We've always been an organization that takes strategy very seriously, and we can talk about that a little bit more. But my office is responsible for, on the strategy side, basically working with our organization and our business units to kind of chart the big picture course. Our operating units set more detailed plans, but I'm also responsible for the controllership function. So every budget appropriation for a major IT project has to be approved by our Treasury Board, and my analysts review those budgets and present them to the board objectively and independently. So project controllership, making sure that our projects are properly gated and that they're well conceived from the get-go, is also something that's the responsibility of my department.
That's wonderful. I was really pleased, actually, in learning more about the Government of Ontario and your role, that in fact it is just such a strategic role. I mean, your role in particular, but that IT is viewed so strategically. I was also interested to understand that you employ a federalist structure to govern IT. Can you describe how this works and why the organization chose this model to begin with?
Sure. Well, like most organizations, IT in the government of Ontario went through a period of significant decentralization in the 1980s and early 90s. And with the shift from mainframes to minis and then to PCs, our application footprint became really unmanageable. So we had dozens of IT directors, each setting their own standards. We had several different financial systems, which made it virtually impossible to get a consolidated set of statements out on time. We were running various email applications, making it a challenge to communicate between departments. So we had the typical sort of 1980s, 1990s IT footprint, very decentralized and very fragmented. So in the late 90s, Ontario responded by creating a federated IT organization. And our departments were organized into eight clusters. Each IT cluster had its own CIO. And the cluster CIOs were set up to be as close to the action as possible. So they were set up very close to our business units, which in our case are ministries. And we also created an accountability to a central or a corporate CIO. And the corporate CIO, David Nickel, has responsibility for enterprise services, standards, and infrastructure. So the CIOs have an accountability both to their ministries, but they also have an accountability to the corporate CIO. And we think that federated structure gives us the best of both worlds. So we have alignment with the business, with the ministries, and we also have an ability to ensure consistent practices and an ability to act horizontally across the enterprise.
And I suppose then that there are opportunities for the larger group to get together and share some of those best practices, maybe practices that are emerging in one area within the purview of one of those CIOs that can be spread more broadly.
Absolutely. In fact, we have a board of directors called ITELC, the IT Executive Leadership Committee, and that committee or council meets every 2 weeks. So that is effectively our IT governing body. At the operational level, we have a deputies committee at the strategic level that provides us with guidance, and then the government over top of that. But it's a situation where we do meet across the organization on a regular basis, and the executive is very keen on developing and sharing best practices.
That's wonderful. I just as you mentioned, I think it's great to hear that that IT is viewed so strategically. And in fact, this runs contrary to the typical stereotype of government bureaucracies that suggest a large, inefficient, and ineffective a group. But clearly, this is one that that operates a little bit differently, or at least against that stereotype. I was curious, actually, in preparing for this, that the notion of strategic planning and measuring results and of those strategic plans is not only a common practice for your organization, but something that you've been doing for more than a decade, if I have my dates correctly. Can you explain the process that you use?
Sure. Ontario's IT strategy has been something that's been a central part of our history, right, since the early days, right, since the early 90s. And our most recent Beyond eOntario strat plan is focused on improvements in five areas. So we're focusing now on solutions, services, information, collaboration, and people. So taking each of these in hand, the first one on the solutions front, we've ranked all of our major applications according to technological obsolescence and risk. Some of them are getting quite long in the tooth, like most large enterprises, and we've launched a $600 million program to remediate the ones which are well past their shelf life. So that's a great example of portfolio management designed to improve the solutions. Part of our strat plan. In the service delivery area, we've had a major push to bring most of our retail public services under one window, and that window is known as Service Ontario. Most of these are now offered online through a convenient self-serve channel, and some of them even have money-back service guarantees. So that's been a real boon to the public, instead of lining up at counters and having to go to several different places to get a license or a registration. You can now deal with one window, and you can deal with it in a 7x24 anywhere, anytime, self-serve channel. On the information management front, we've contracted with a single vendor to provide a common EIM, Enterprise Information Management tool, to departments that are interested in converting the terabytes of unstructured digital data that we've acquired, that most organizations are sitting on, and turn that into useful, easy-to-analyze information. So information management is the third component of our plan. You mentioned people. So like most jurisdictions, Ontario is preparing for the looming demographic transition. So as our baby boomers retire and the bus that follows creates a bit of a skills shortage, this is a particular concern in a knowledge economy like ours, where we actually in Ontario have the third largest ICT, information communications, telecom sector in North America. And so we're always on the lookout for top talent. We've been working very hard through our strat plan to implement what we think are innovative recruitment, retention, and engagement strategies for our people. And in fact, Ontario has been named one of the top employers in the country and also one of Canada's top diversity employers, which is important for us given the nature of our population. So we adopted our Beyond E Ontario plan in the fall of 2008, and we were delighted when you actually published your book on world-class IT but a year later, because we saw so much of our strat plan, the five verticals that are built into our plan, in the five principles that are embodied in your book on world-class IT. So it was nice to see great minds thinking alike.
Well, that's awfully nice of you to say. Thank you so much. I'd love to linger on this people point that you raise. I was really curious to discover that you have an internal consulting function. If I recall correctly, it's to take responsibilities that you would have hired external consultants to do in the past. Can you describe the rationale in developing this group, how you staffed it, the advantages you've garnered from putting it together?
Sure. Well, I guess like most IT organizations, we rely very heavily on our consultant partners for specialized skills, which we need on a temporary project basis. But when we analyzed the use of consultants in our organization, we found that some of the positions that we were retaining were being used for work which was ongoing, and where there was a significant business case to use an internal pool rather than paying retail rates for external providers. So we created something we think is quite innovative. We call it IT Source, and it's 275 permanent positions within our organization, which are essentially staffed like internal consultants. So rather than being tied to a home position, they're expected to move from project to project, and they supply us with temporary skills as project managers, architects, business analysts, and others. We think we've created a really top-notch team of highly qualified, in-demand staff who are available to the taxpayer at wholesale in-house rates. And this allows us to use our consulting budgets more judiciously. We will always use consultants like most IT shops, but we can now focus on projects which really require specialist skills on a time-limited basis. And that's where the consulting spend will go. The internal resource, the IT Source folks, are there to provide the basic service that serves our day-to-day needs.
Very interesting. And can you talk about the evolution across the years now that you've worked for the government? How have you seen the evolution of skills? Are there certain skills that you see rising in importance versus others that are becoming less important? I asked this question on the heels of the emergence of this consulting group because it strikes me this is a part of the organization and a team that must require very nimble thinkers, very flexible minds, the ability to tackle problems without easy answers and so on. Do you see that as kind of the model going forward?
It does. The skills profile is changing for sure. I mean, it always does in IT, but we're no different. But in Ontario, our Secretary of Cabinet, Shelley Jamieson, that's our top executive, basically challenged the IT organization in the fall to get out of the back room and into the boardroom and make sure that we were not just providing, you know, good uptime and fast turnaround like the telephone company, that we were actually advising government executives on ways to transform their businesses so that we can provide better value to the taxpayer and better service delivery. So we're very keen on becoming, you know, the great enabler of public service delivery. That's a challenge for our IT organization, and the skills that we're trying to develop are very much in line with that. At the same time, the subject matter of IT is changing. So the business of application development, just as one example, we still use mainframes and we will continue to use mainframes. And there are lots of people that have skills in the sort of big iron area. But with the emergence of web services and, SOA approaches to programming, we can be much more agile and bring things to the client's attention where they can see the results of one development cycle very quickly. They can look at it. They can do the change management required to get the business process in place. They can get used to it. And then we can move on to the second stage of the project. So we can be much more nimble than the old sort of waterfall style of, you know, retreating into the code writing room for months on end and then coming back to the client, which with a significant process that requires a significant review. So we're interested in much lighter, more nimble web-based approaches to programming, and we're training our people accordingly.
Excellent. Your organization has an annual budget of roughly $1 billion, and you've put considerable thought into using that purchasing power to your advantage. Can you talk a little bit about how you've driven infrastructure efficiencies as an example?
Yeah, we work in a scale industry. So when you buy 68,000 units of anything at a time, you can obtain substantial savings for the taxpayer. And in the last 4 years, Ontario has taken a major step to consolidate all of its IT infrastructure services under one roof. So we now have well over 1,000 staff in the new IT infrastructure organization, which is the single business unit responsible for data centers, network, desktop, help desk, email, and other services. So the result is we can now purchase in significant bulk, and we can pass on the savings. So desktop PCs, just one example. We just recently procured on the basis of our 68,000 headcount, and the pricing we've got is really excellent. So our prices are now a tenth of what we were paying in the past on PC. Network services similarly have gotten cheaper, as has telephony. So the consolidation of infrastructure for utility services makes a lot of sense for us.
Makes sense. One thing that I certainly need to hit on that I was perhaps most impressed about the story of your organization is the degree to which you are metrics driven. This is a challenge that a lot of IT departments in the private and public sector have. And I wonder if you can take a moment to describe how you capture, track, use metrics that you keep, and also the behaviors that they've driven by having done so.
Well, sure. And here's another book plug for you. We were delighted to see that your book does stress the importance of publishing dashboards and metrics for everyone to see, because that's something that really has been a part of our organization's lifeblood since the beginning. So my division has a really excellent performance measurement group, which runs regular staff engagement, client satisfaction surveys, and collects reams of data from all across our organization. We have well over 100 KPIs that we organize into quarterly dashboards and into scorecards for not only our IT organization to look at, but also for our business clients. And we're big believers in the axiom that what gets measured is what gets done. So by focusing our management attention on measures like time to deliver, uptime, employee engagement, client satisfaction, we've been able to drive our service levels higher every year. And I would also mention that the metrics that we publish, they provide a significant rallying point for our staff. The staff work very hard. These are almost like the box scores in the morning newspaper for sports fans. They work very hard to try to drive the numbers in a northerly direction. So the dashboards and the quarterly scorecards have been a real boon to us.
That's great. And are they intended for internal, that is IT consumption, or is it something that you also publish more broadly?
It's both. We have a very detailed set of numbers that we share with our executive every quarter. But we also have what we call the client-facing scorecard, which is something that's at a little bit more of a kind of business level, management level for our business clients. And it's all very transparent and unvarnished. It's the good, which we like to publish, but also the bad and the ugly. And that gives our clients good line of sight on what matters to them. They can give us good feedback, and we can deploy our resources to try to fix things that are important to our clients that need fixing.
That's wonderful. Well, Rob, this has been a great conversation. I really appreciate you taking this time on the Forum on World Class IT and sharing your insights and the many accomplishments that you and your department have had.
Happy to do it, Peter.
Just listen to a podcast in a series we call Meta Strategies Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT: Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the Forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to Meta Strategies' five principles of world class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people, doing the right jobs at the right time, it will be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure, defined as software, hardware, networks. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will likely become stuck in a reactive mode, constantly fighting fires. And if systems and hardware work reliably, on the other hand, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It's important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and quality assurance, through to support and all other aspects of the IT department, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business. Now, if the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming crucial to corporations, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metisstrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metisstrategy.com. Our sound editor is Chris Davis, our web editor is Christian Dooley, and our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.